नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम टू अवर संडे मॉर्निंग डिस्कशन ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम। वी आर डिस्कसिंग टुडे फ्रॉम कैंटो 11, चैप्टर 26, टेक्स्ट 3 एंड 4। 3 डजंट हैव ए परपोर्ट, 4th हैज। संगम न कुर्याद् असताम् शिष्णोदर त्रिपाम् क्वचित् तस्यानुगस् तमसि अंधे पतति अंधानुगांधवत्। संगम न कुर्याद् असताम् शिष्णोदर त्रिपाम् क्वचित् तस्यानुगस्तमस्यन्धे पतति अंधानुगांधवत्। संगम न कुर्यादसताम् शिष्णोदर त्रिपाम् क्वचित् तस्यानुगस्तमस्यन्धे पतति अंधानुगांधवत्। संगम न कुर्यादसताम् शिष्णोदर त्रिपाम् क्वचित् तस्यानुगस्तमस्यन्धे पतत्यन्धानुगान्धवत्। 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 लेडीज, संगम न कुर्यादसताम् शिष्णोदर त्रिपाम् क्वचित् तस्यानुगस्तमस्यन्धे पतत्यन्धानुगान्धवत्। संगम न कुर्यादसताम् शिष्णोदर त्रिपाम् क्वचित् तस्यानुगस्तमस्यन्धे पतत्यन्धानुगान्धवत्। संगम न कुर्यादसताम् शिष्णोदर त्रिपाम् क्वचित् तस्यानुगस्तमस्यन्धे पतत्यन्धानुगान्धवत्। संगम एसोसिएशन न कुर्यात्। One should never make asatam of those who are materialistic, shishna, the genitals, udara, and the belly. Tripam, who are devoted to gratifying. Kvachit, at any time. Tasya, of any such person. Anugaha, the follower. Tamasi ande, into the darkest pit. Patati, he falls. Anda anuga, following a blind man. Andavat, just like another blind man. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. One should never associate with materialists, those dedicated to gratifying their genitals and bellies. By following them, one falls into the deepest pit of darkness, just like a blind man who follows another blind man. Text 4. Aila samradimam gatham agayat brihat shravaha urvashivirahan muyyan nirvinna shoka samyame. Translation. The following song was sung by the famous emperor Pururava. When deprived of his wife Urvashi, he was at first bewildered. But by controlling his lamentation, he began to feel detachment. Purport. This story is also narrated in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Aila or Pururava was a great king whose glories were vast. On being separated from Urvashi, he felt great bewilderment at first. But after meeting her briefly at Kurukshetra, he worshipped the demigods with the sacrificial fire given him by the Gandharvas and received the privilege of entering the planet where she resided. Vandeyam Shri Guru, Shri Juta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakhanvitamscha, Om Ajnana Timirandasya, Jnananjana Shalakaya, Chakshurunmilitam Yena, Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Sthapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Tadati Svapadantikam, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Niti Namine, Namaste Sarasvate Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatya Deshatarine, Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, Kripasindubhyayevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is entitled the Aila Gita. There are many Gitas in Vedic literature. In Srimad Bhagavatam itself, we have the song of Aila, Pururava, Aila Gita. Then we have the song sung by Pingala, who was a prostitute, her Gita. Then there is a Bhumi Gita, song sung by Earth, personified. We have Hamsa Gita. And of course, 11th canto has the Uddhava Gita. There are also other Gitas which have an impersonalistic approach, Ashtavakras Gita. And of course, we have the most famous Bhagavad Gita. And they all have their various angles of looking at this material world, trying to understand spiritual literature, spiritual topics. The Bhagavad Gita, being Krishna's own Gita, is of course the most cherished and the most famous. So the central topic of Pururava's Gita is his attachment for his wife, and specifically the bond of lust. So in our short time today, I just thought of making a small flow by using Krishna's wisdom to understand what is this lust, why does it exist, why does it trouble us so much, and is there any way out of it. So kama is the word used in Vedic text for any sort of desire. It doesn't mean only sex desire, it doesn't mean only lust. Kama also has another connotation where somebody says, all right, let it happen. Like Uttara in the Srimad Bhagavatam, she says, let my embryo be burnt. Let my body be burnt, but my embryo should be protected. I don't mind giving up my body. Arjun, coming to fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra before the Bhagavad Gita could be narrated to him, had a desire. And that desire was, for 12 long years we have stayed in the forest. Then one full year we have stayed incognito. And is there any sense of justice in this world? Why do we fight? So, coming with the desire to fight, and then on the battlefield getting all these reverse signals, that why should I fight? I should fight my own people? For what purpose? Oh, they will give. By fighting them, you'll get money. You'll get a kingdom to enjoy. But on that battlefield, at that particular moment, Arjuna has become very philosophical. He's saying, I don't want any enjoyment. But you are a king. You live in a palace. Can you live a simple life? I can try, he says. I can go begging door to door. What do you don't want? I don't want sin. Plus, I have to fight my teacher, Dronacharya. I have to fight my grandfather. I love them. So you loved them enough. In all your childhood, you got love from your grandfather. You got love from your teacher. You respected both of them. Now it is time for them to change their bodies. They are old. And they are going to die. All of us are going to die one day. Arjuna says, but why I should be the reason that they should change their bodies? But if Krishna says, but you are a warrior and this is your battle. He says, Krishna, you are telling me to kill them as if it is just like buying grocery or just turning a tap and filling some pot with water. Is it as ordinary as that? Have you ever been told to kill your father, your relatives? No? So why tell me? So looking at all this, Krishna, the philosopher, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is silent. And that's what happens with all of us in all species of life, especially the human form of life. In other species, even if Krishna comes in front of them, there is no registration. They don't know what it's it. But the human form of life is especially meant to ask about spiritual topics. But Arjuna has not set up any spiritual question yet. Why? Because he is too entangled. How does he begin his entanglement? Twice in the first chapter he says, Anveksheham, Niriksheham. I would like to see Krishna, charioteer, please take my chariot in the midst of these two armies and let me see what's happening. This is where the whole equation begins of bewilderment. Because what has happened is, we are not trusting superior intelligence and we are trying to see things from our own, with our own material vision. It happened with me that I had some knee problem. I went to this clinic. There is a, what is it called? NM Diagnostics. They have another branch near Grand Road Station, near Charney Road Station. So my left knee's x-ray was ready after 3 days. They said, you come on this particular day. I came there half an hour early and the technician was there. So I said, where is my x-ray? So he said, yeah, this is it. So I said, put it on the backlit. So there is a backlit. You know what a backlit is? So he put it there. And I tried to see what's wrong with my knee. It's my knee, of course, so I am the owner. So I had put it up there. And in about 10 minutes, the doctor came and he said, you have kept it upside down. I said, really? That's how it is supposed to be? And I said, I couldn't find any fault there. So he looked at me as if surprised and said, I mean, you are not expected to. You don't have any training. So even if it is your body, how are you going to make any head and tail out of it if you are not trained? And he said, look, this is this small thing here. That could be a problem, but it's not serious. You take some calcium medicine and he said, that will take care of it. So whenever we see our life situation, and we say, let me see. And Krishna allows, okay, go and see. So he goes and sees and he has all these kinds of reversals. Pashyaitan viparitani. I only see reversals. I only see opposite things. And by the end of the first chapter, this great warrior, he has given up his bow and arrow. He's like crying. Ashru purna kulekshanam. Why is God not helping him? Why Krishna waits? Does he delight in torturing us? Is God some kind of a sadist who gets happiness in our suffering? There are some people who say, does God even know that we are suffering here? Here he is, simply enjoying. So with an untrained vision, people get envious of Krishna's enjoyment. Why is he enjoying when I am suffering? But our acharyas give another angle to it. Hey, all of us are suffering, at least one person is enjoying. Isn't it? And is he a selfish person? No. Is he resourceful? Yes. Does he have any money shortage? No. Knowledge shortage? No. Beauty shortage? No. Festival shortage? No. Yesterday this whole hall was filled with rapturous delight. Anybody, you saw anybody going down saying, all right, it was a festival? No. There is no way you can have any kind of boredom with this kind of petals being showered first on their lordship and then on us. In New York, Srila Prabhupada said, when the boys who had just joined, Prabhupada used to call them boys, my American boys and girls. And after the third or fourth festival in a month, someone said that, so many festivals? And Prabhupada said, if I had the resources, we can have a festival every day. And truly, if you look at the Vaishnava calendar, there is simply no dearth of festivals. In fact, what we have is a filtered version. Exactly. So, Krishna is an enjoyer and he is happy. And he is willing to invite us to his party. Ever willing. Just come. One devotee once gave a very nice explanation. That suppose, like, I presume all of us are leading pretty ordinary mundane lives. Anybody here getting invited to a billionaire's round table or a billionaire's party? Okay. I'm happy if somebody is. I'm not trying to say that. But normally we don't. But in case you get invited, you go there with your best clothes. And then you find that your best clothes don't measure up to anything for the kind of clothes people are wearing. You put on your finest imitation jewelry, only to find that people there have real jewelry. Maybe borrowed, whatever, but real at least. So you go there, sometimes you feel happy, at least I got invited. This world is so different and twisted. Sometimes people go there and come back morose. Oh, I don't have that kind of wealth. Fine. But, have you ever seen a billionaire bringing you on his yacht or in his ballroom and saying, I'm so happy with you, I'm going to make you a billionaire today. Just like me. No way. They can share the food, they can give some gifts, but they don't have that kind of resources to make you like them. See, this is the difference between Krishna's celebrations and others here. Krishna says, you want to come to me? Share my wealth. Sarashti. Everything what I have, you can have it. So there is only one thing which prevents us from joining Krishna's celebrations. Prabhupada told some disciples that your eye has a small cataract. You understand cataract? Moti bind? Just a tiny mustard seed kind of size. But that prevents from seeing Vrindavan as it is. That prevents from you seeing the world as it is. Remove it. And you will see everything clearly. Krishna begins the explanation of karma in the second chapter. He calls certain people kamatmanaha, desiring sense gratification. Do you know there is happiness everywhere in this world? No way. Someone saying, nah, how can it be? But then people do enjoy or try to enjoy. Every day I take a morning walk. I go right, Fountain Hotel, Babulnath Temple, straight ahead. There is a Mumbai International School and there is a municipal playground. Just next to the playground, outside the playground is a bus stop. And since 1989, I am seeing a homeless family. Now, they are not homeless. They have some shelter. So, I saw the husband, wife. Over the years, they had 3 daughters. Now, all 3 daughters are married. They have their children. And sometimes when I go, they are laughing, they are joking. They don't have any supply of pure water assured, although they have water. I see the man washing cars, earning his livelihood. When there is some festival in Babulnath Temple, they make some flower garlands or whatever, they sell that. And one of his daughters got married to another hutment opposite of Babulnath Temple. And he was telling somebody, she is doing better than me. She came from life on the pavement, but now they have a pakka jhopadi. They have a pakka hut. I was thinking, I came from a lower middle class background, one room, kitchen, balcony, flat. My hopes were 2 BHK, 2-bedroom kitchen or 3 BHK. And when I got my degrees and when I was moving in those kind of circle, that was a target which could have been achieved. And then I joined here. When I used to sleep in the temple hall, when I joined the ashram, I said, previously I was just having one small corner. I have a whole hall today. I'm so rich. I can, like Giriraj Maharaj, when he went to the Calcutta temple, so that time he thought Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami would sleep under a different tree every day. They were so nishkinchana. Kinchana means something. Nishkinchana means know something. I don't claim over nothing. Not even that small 6x4 place to take rest. So they would sleep under a different tree. So he said, just to follow in their footsteps, I would like to sleep under a different fan every day. So I don't claim. No, really. One of my childish desires was to live in a house with a staircase. Seeing those holy Bollywood films, the hero comes from Bihar, UP somewhere, from a simple background, then comes to Bombay and sees Nariman Point. And then he has a big house with staircase. I never had one. When I joined the ashram, there are 6 or 7 staircases. I said, wow, Krishna surely fulfills all desires. There is a shloka by Madhvacharya, I think so, quoting some of the Upanishadic wisdom, that the living entity can be having sense gratification even in hell. Even in hell. Why? Because by nature we try to seek happiness. If you are in a human form of life, we compare situations. It's always, is life bad? Well, it could be worse. It's not that bad today. They say that the difference between an optimist and a pessimist is that a pessimist, you know these words, optimist, pessimist. So they were having a debate. So the pessimist says that, I always fear that, like in India it's very common, that a bird perch on a tree or on a traffic light or whatever, they may drop their stool and it will fall on you. Bird droppings. So the pessimist was saying like that, this is my fear. And a pigeon dropped something on him. And he said, look, this is how life is bad. Now, can you say anything good about this? He said, well, I'm happy. Elephants don't fly. So, you can always look at the good side of things. If elephants are flying and they do the pigeon stuff, that's the understanding. For those who didn't get it in the first try. So heavens, there is a whole section of religionists who feel that going to heaven is the end point, be all, end all. Where does God reside? In heavens. The Gita says not quite accurate. The heaven is just two notches better than what we have here. In fact, this particular material situation is called the middle planetary system. And this has a mixture of everything. We have pure hell. Not in Mumbai, not in Somalia, not in Eritrea, not in Ethiopia. Australia. Check out those bushfire images which are coming now. Acres and acres and acres of fire. So, the Vedas say that this world is the middle system. Then Krishna moves on, second chapter, 70th verse, he says that this flow of desires, karma, he says is incessant. You may say, really? They never stop? He says, no. Just like rivers always rush and try to find the ocean, our heart, our chitta, our mind is a source of constantly flowing desires. The moment one desire is achieved, we move to the next one. It's like on a computer screen, one file is, you do something, you put that X, click it, file gone, plop, one more file opens. What about this? Oh, I want that too. In this New Jersey Transit Railway Station, I saw a small poem. It is there on the wall. This poet is saying, all I want is a few flowers and a few bushes, a lake. That's all is enough to make me happy. And I was so nice. It was so nice. New York is seen as so materialistic. And it is a 6-line poem. I took an image of it. And the last line says, and $10 million. Oh, so mere sunrise and sunset and birds and flowing breeze and cooling lakes, that's not enough. That's good as a holiday once or twice, but then you have to have $10 million to actually enjoy. So this never stops. In the third chapter, Krishna then pinpoints, this is enemy number one. Arjun, if there is anything, this is enemy number one. Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajo, Guna, Samudbhava, Mahashano, Mahapapma, Vidyanam, Vairinam. This is your enemy. Mahashano, his appetite is great. If you say, I give in, all right, take this, more. You give lust more, lust demands more. He says, okay, but what if I become pious? What if I use my sense of discrimination? What if I use Viveka Buddhi? That Baba, please leave me. It's enough. Now I am 65. I have served you enough. Please leave me. I said, no. Why can't he listen to good advice? Krishna says, Mahapapma. He's a sinful personality. So Mahashano, great appetite and sinful. But at the same time Krishna is saying, Jahi Shatrum. This is your enemy, you have to conquer him, no matter what the price. He says, because karma burns like fire. It simply keeps on consuming. Any amount of fuel you give to fire, simply say more, give me more, give me more. The fourth chapter is about transcendental knowledge. So here Krishna offers something very difficult, at least I feel. I am not in the position to just say, okay, I can do things like that. What does Krishna say? Every endeavor should be devoid of desire for sense gratification. Every? You chant for Krishna's pleasure. So much so that Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj said, we take prasad not to enjoy prasad, but to enjoyed by Krishna in the form of prasad. Complete game changer, isn't it? You come to the temple not to see Krishna and say, oh, Krishna is looking very nice today. We offer ourselves, Krishna, you enjoy me. Now here the mind says, ah, you think Krishna will enjoy you? Look at your face. Not in that sense. Don't try to be morose. Just coming to Krishna's temple, dancing for Krishna, chanting for Krishna, Krishna's pleasure, at least is a beginning. Just see 22nd Avenue, Prabhupada is talking to his young hippie flock and the door opens and a big burly homeless derelict bum walks in. He has not washed for months maybe, stinking, and he's looking at Prabhupada, he waves. Many of these people would wave to Prabhupada. Here is a pious person. And he looks at the crowd, they are like, oh, negative stares. And he's, oh, all right. And he takes a roll of toilet paper. I don't know where he got it. Somehow somebody gave him some toilet paper roll. He put that on the basin. He goes into the restroom. He puts it there. And he says, I'll be back. And the crowd is relieved that he just left. Prabhupada, quick to understand what exactly was happening, he says, look at him. He's not proper. He may be not be civilized from your point of view, but see the service attitude. That is, I'm sure, because Prabhupada praised this person for that small service he did, he's on his way back to Godhead. I mean, we don't know when we will go. He could be in the reception committee over there to receive us. We may be thinking, oh, I chant normally so many rounds on Haridas Thakur's disciplinary. I chant 10 times that number of rounds. I fast. I serve. This person is lucky. He had a chance to serve a pure devotee of Krishna. So, we begin with tiny bits of work or deeds which are devoid of the desire for personal sense enjoyment. So you just volunteer to serve prasad. Not me today, but you first. One day I remember Narasimha Chaturdashi festival, previously we used to serve lemonade, lemon juice, just to those who are fasting for the whole day till dusk. And then everybody comes up, we hear the katha, kirtan, and then Mahaprasad served for everybody. I was partnering with one brahmachari, a devotee. And we had two tanks full of lemonade made for the entire crowd. And we kept on giving. And those two containers, huge steel containers, were finished. And this devotee looked at me and said, nothing for us? I said, no, don't worry. There could be something. So sure enough, the kitchen crew had kept about two buckets, small buckets for them. So we took whatever we wanted, two small glasses. Everybody had been served. Everybody came up. And he said, I have to make a small observation. He says, normally, this is the time I avoid any seva. Because sometimes fasting for a whole day and other services is a bit too much on my health. But today I volunteered. And my usual idea is to take at least two big, large bottles, Bisleri 1 liter bottles filled with this lemonade, go to my favorite spot up somewhere in the ashram, and in a deeply contemplative mood, honor it. Take nice small sips for at least half an hour. This is your quota. But today, what happened today is not proper. The fast breaking time, this time was about 6:47 or something. I served till 7:47. I should be famished. My knees should be weak. I should be protesting. And I took only two glasses. Why am I satisfied? And I gave the classic ISKCON response. Krishna's arrangement. You can always say that. This answer you can always give to any question in life. Of course, previous the first, the better one was, I don't know. But I don't know in the material world translates to Krishna's arrangement, which is a bit Krishna conscious, right? So he said, no, I know what has happened. Previously, this whole thing was, I am doing things for Krishna, but still there was some selfish, centered kind of approach. And here, by force, you do something selflessly and you feel happy. So the soul is satisfied by selflessness. It's the body which craves selfishness. And the interface between them is this lust. So, you may say, alright, you are saying tolerate, calm burns like fire. How long, Prabhu? I joined in 2001. It is 2019 now. Isn't 18 years good enough that lust should be completely eradicated? Well, I have some news for you. Krishna says, 5.23, Prak sharir vimokshanat. Shaknoti haiva yasodhum prak sharir vimokshanat. Till the time you have your last breath, till your dying breath, this fight goes on. So there is one way, alright, it goes on till that time, I give up. The white flag of surrender. But those who follow the Bhagavad Gita, they say, no, let's fight. We may lose a limb here and there, we may be having setbacks, slip-ups, small battles lost, but we will win the war. That will come later. But the reality is, this fight continues till the last breath. Seventh chapter, Krishna brings one of the most important points in kama conquest. This whole thing is about conquering kama. He says, Arjun, I am that kama which is not contrary to religious principles. So the first time I read that, I said, really? Krishna is saying, I am that sex life. It should not be contrary to religious principles. It's a deep topic, vast topic. We don't have time for that. But here the connection with spiritual karma is established. We can dovetail our desires in Krishna's service. In the ninth chapter, one point which was taken in the second chapter about heavens, it makes a comeback. He said, if heavens are actually giving happiness, why not go there and stay? Krishna says, yeah, there is one small problem. What's that? Gata gatam. You go there till you have punya. In our day-to-day example, somebody has a 7 days paid holiday at Mahabaleshwar somewhere. Mahabaleshwar is a local resort, not very far from Mumbai. So they pick you up, they take you there, and morning, knock knock, sir, what would you like to have? Tea, coffee, decaf, orange juice, mango juice? You may say, oh, really? All of it? Yeah, why not? Many times we Indians are criticized that, especially when you go to the West, if there are 6 things available, you may say, why not all? They're all free, right? I already paid, right? Yeah, why not? Afternoon, they say, what's for lunch? Then what's for supper? Anything in between? You may say, why are they so kind? Everybody is so nice here. The only thing they ask is room service, your laundry is done, you want some entertainment. 7 days pass like that. And then 7th day evening, you get a message saying, sir, would you keep your luggage ready? Tomorrow morning you are checking out. The next day morning, you say that nobody came to ask me about orange juice or tea or whatever. They say, but sir, your package was only for 7 days. You may say, suddenly how everybody became cold? Because you are entitled only till that payment time. So you open dispensaries, you gave free food, you gave free medicine, you gave charity, you did tapasya. All of these are points which show up on your ID when you go to the heavens. And there, it is said that if you start bragging about what you did here, the meter goes faster. Yeah, so hold your tongue, don't tell what you did. And after that duration is over, they say nobody dies on the heavenly planets. You know that? It's called Amara Loka. No one dies there. You may say, strange, but Krishna is saying, Agatam. Those who go there, come back. Come back means you have to die. It's something like nobody dies on that particular planet. Before death, they transfer you to some other place and you die from that place. Like a hospital ward, it doesn't exist anywhere. I'm just giving an example for you to understand. Whenever somebody is about to die, they shift into the next hospital. So they say, in our hospital, nobody has died so far. You know, say, oh. So basically, in your and my parlance, heavens is simply an advertisement. Every day you all get on your mobile phones, so many advertisements. 4K Ultra HD 72 inch color TV for 1 rupee. You may say, really? An intelligent person says, where is the asterisk? Know that? Small asterisk. And then you find in the whole screen or a page what that asterisk says. What it says? Terms and conditions apply. Very good. And what those terms and conditions are? It could be a 17-page legalese document which you can't make head and tail out of it. So heavens are like that. At least from the Gita's point of view. They're not eternal. In frustration, people who don't have spiritual vision, they say this whole world is phantasmagoria. Old word. Nobody uses that in our daily language now. But what does this mean? There is no cause or effect, no controller, no purpose. Everything is unreal. No difference between matter and spirit. Everything is matter. Everything is a dream. And Prabhupada says, all right, we agree that things could be like a dream, but these lusty people are so expert in enjoying this dream. If it's a dream, why not leave it? People say, well, since nobody's enjoying it, I might as well volunteer. Like devotees, if you get a card saying the world's best, most expensive liquor, alcohol, 65% discount. While chanting, would you be thinking 65% of 3,000 rupees means such a big discount. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, what do I do with that? No, no, no. There is no registration. In Hindi they say,
जिस गली में जाना नहीं उसका पता क्यों पूछे? When you don't want something, whether it is 65% discount, whether somebody pays you 100 rupees for taking that, will you take it? No. So this is that stage where we are aloof. And the foundation for that aloofness is progress in Krishna consciousness. So 16th chapter, 8th verse, Krishna talks about what kind of conclusions we can come if we see this world with the lust colored lens. That it is all unreal, there is no purpose, there is no God. If there is a God, why this would happen? If there is a God, why the... Look at me, why this would happen to me? So this is that me-centered, no spiritual vision. And in the next 10 verses, from 16.9 to 16.18, my God, Krishna goes on a whole limb of making us understand where these conclusions can take you. Krishna, first of all, I'm just making a succinct summary of that. Krishna calls these people, they are lost to themselves. They don't know who they are. They don't know what spirit is. They don't know what body means. No understanding of what is spirit. No understanding of what is sharir. No understanding of what is what other things are. This gives rise to ugra karma. Another word which comes many times in Prabhupada's classes. Be prepared. I'm not making any of it. Today's technology, slaughterhouses, breweries, cigarette factories, nightclubs, large-scale industries. In fact, Prabhupada called the school system like a slaughterhouse. Why? Just like in a slaughterhouse, an animal is kept and simply butchered. So in today's school system, what is that lamp? The desire to ask questions about God. Is there a God? How do I find him? How do I get that? Those questions are treated like lamps. Simply put, grades, grades, grades. Remember data. Remember. Basically, one American person said, he's a motivational speaker, at kindergarten, you get a mug. He says, at kindergarten, first day of your school, they all give you a mug. And all these 10 years, they keep on pouring things in that. That's called knowledge. Your school leaving certificate means you have to put that whole thing in your answer paper. And then you come out of it thinking, what am I supposed to do now? You eat knowledge just like a cow eats grass. And then you vomit it out on the answer paper. And today's bosses say, good, this person is 97%. He earned 97%. You may say, does it mean he's wise? Nah. He's trainable. I met a person who has a MA in history of fine art. And he's a college topper. Now he's in a bank, selling bank retail products. So his boss said, yeah, we knew. We only take the toppers. Because you guys are trainable. We tell you, this is the person, this is your customer, future customer, this is the product, sell him, go. So, of course, I'm not decrying the whole thing of education, that's not the main point of our class here. But we have to understand why Prabhupada called it a slaughterhouse. Asha Pasha Shatair Baddha. A lusty person's heart is bound by asha, means hope. Pasha, it's a noose. Shatair, hundreds of them. There is a Sanskrit subhashit that there are people who have no fetters, no bedi, no shackles, and they are motionless. And there are hundreds and thousands who are firmly shackled and they are so mobile. They are speedily moving from one place to another. Is it possible? You are bound by iron shackles and they say you are fast moving everywhere and somebody has no shackles and is motionless.
There is something in it. The shackles represent desire to satisfy your kama vasanas. And those who are bound by kama vasanas, they are moving all over the 14 worlds. Maybe here, maybe there, maybe here, this life, that body. I want to fly like a bird. Oh, I want to grow like a lion. I want to eat like an elephant. I want to be like a polar bear. All these desires are satisfied. This world is meant for those kind of desires to be satisfied. 84 lakh varieties of recipes are available. If you can see, if body experiences like a dish, there are 8.4 million recipes available. Check it out. Try this way, that way. And those who have given up this calm, no beddy, no shackles, they are steady in what they do. That's the understanding. So Krishna has, in 10 verses, Krishna has condemned this. So if you ask him, so Krishna, what do you do with such people? Oh, I cast them down into demoniac species. They have no hope. This sounds a bit very cruel. Krishna, you're supposed to be compassionate. You can't say like that. No. If they have even the slightest desire, I can help them. But because of cultivating calm for millions of lifetimes, there isn't even a desire to have a desire. Now, I found this in Bhurijan Prabhu's book, Surrender Unto Me, how these, we talk of six enemies, Shadripu. A very nice analysis given here. Kama is unsatisfied, unchecked, unregulated desires. That is calm. Mostly calm doesn't get satisfied. And when calm doesn't get satisfied, what comes? Anger. Why? Everybody's enjoying except me. I won't let anybody enjoy. So unsatisfied calm gives rise to anger. You must say, all right, but sometimes actually your desires get satisfied. You may not get a lottery ticket for 50,000, you may get for 5,000. The moment you get 5,000, lobha comes in. Greed. Desire. So, unsatisfied calm, anger. Satisfied calm, greed. Greed gives birth to moha, illusion. You can't make vivek buddhi, you can't make a proper discriminatory decision because there is so much of greed. This, the fourth one, greed gives rise to mada, pride or intoxication. You feel proud. Proud about your past achievements. Sometimes you are proud about your dreams. This is what I am going to do when I become a millionaire or this or that. And Bhurijan Prabhu says, the combination of these first five, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, mix them together, soak them overnight. Next day morning, put them in a blender. And that combination what you get is matsar. Envy of Krishna. For no reason. For no reason, absolutely, we envy why Krishna married so many thousands of princesses. Why Krishna has such wealth. Why do you put so much of flowers here? One day, we were having some repairing work and it was crucial that it should go on, and Maharaj told that even if while we are dressing the deities, this electrical and carpentry work should go on because it was very crucial. So the only time I saw we are dressing the deities, we told them that, well, not when they are completely, the shringar is taken away, but when we put on the main shringar dress, afterwards you can come. So this boy was coming every day for temple carpentry work. And this day, another assistant was added And he came and he was like, imagine going in the sanctum sanctorum, garbhagriha, and they were talking in Hindi. So he looked at the regular guy and he said, Roj kapda badalta hai. Every day they change the clothes. Every day they put fresh garlands. I'm not saying he was envious, but the understanding is, if they are mere statues, it's just stone, why make such a big fuss? Why put, like in one temple, Rukmini Dwarkadish, they would have 3 times dressing every day. Morning Rajabesh, afternoon change of dress, evening a light kind of evening dress. Of course, if you change every minute, Krishna still won't be like full, saying that enough, enough, enough. No. He's a supreme enjoyer. But this thing is always there. In Udupi, a few years ago, when Udupi Paryay Swamiji, he put a 1 crore rupees diamond crown on Udupi Krishna's head. And people are saying, how many poor people we could have fed with that 1 crore rupees? He said, wait a minute. One president of a powerful country had visited India, and 4.5 crore rupees were spent on that president's visit every day for 18 days. Protecting somebody's blood, flesh, marrow, bone, stool, urine, body, 4.5 crores is okay. And the Lord of the universe, Sarveshwareshwara, is not only Ishwar, is not only Sarveshwara, he says Sarveshwareshwara. It's nothing. Now, we are not saying don't feed the people. We are not saying don't clothe them. We are not saying don't give medicine. These are concomitant factors. If the center point is correct, society will take care of everybody's needs. So now, last 3 minutes, so much of negativity, I am also not very happy. Because I feel myself exposed. I am not really able to control my own lust, anger, greed. So we have CC, Chaitanya Charitamrit, Adi Leela, 4th chapter, 164 and 165. Very sweet, special verses. Kaam prema dohar vibhinna lakshan Lau ara hema jaiche sarupe vilakshan. Very interestingly, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Kama and Prema, they look very similar. Hey, don't make a mistake of calling them identical. You may say, iron is metal, gold is metal. Ha ha, metal exchange. Not like that. There is a scrapyard merchant. Scrapyard? Bhangar merchant. He has a godown filled with 10 tons of bhangar, 10 tons of scrap. And they weigh it. How they weigh it? Just dalo, keep on giving. How much it is? 650 kilograms. No, make it accurate. 650 kilograms. 650.305 kilograms. You may say this whole thing goes by tons weight. Little bit here and there doesn't matter. After all, it's scrap. Go to Tribhondas Bhimji Zaveri at Zaveri Bazaar, a jeweler's place. At there, they don't weigh gold by the ton. They don't have these big scales. There it is. Oh, microgram. You may say, sir, this ring is 6.7 grams. Thoda 3 gram dalo aur kar do. Put some 3 grams more, make it a nice rounded 10. He says, 10? It will be 45,000 rupees more. He must, oh. Why is that? The blacksmith who works with iron scrap, what's his hammer like? This huge. It takes a big burly fellow so much effort to bring it up. And then, damn. That's how he works. Goldsmith's hammer. This small and tit-tit-tit-tot-tot-tot. Because he's dealing with delicate things. So Prabhupada compared bhakti yoga with a blacksmith's hammer. Lifting it takes a long practice, takes some strength. But once you bring it down, kaam tamam, job done. While jnana, yoga, tapa, kriya, tirthatan and so many other things where Krishna is not in the center, it's like taking a small, delicate goldsmith's hammer ending. Oh, we do also upvas, we do fasting, we do this, we do that. What avail? What purpose? So the first thing is, the gopis' prem looks exactly like our so-called prem here. But Krishna Kurusvami says, nah, what you have is just bhangar, scrap. The real gold is up there on the altar. And that's why we come here. And then the most famous words, some of you must be knowing it, Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bali Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam. There is Priti Vancha, I want something for myself, it becomes Kam. Krishnendriya Priti Icha, you make a desire to serve Krishna's divine senses, it becomes Prema. And then Krishna's Kaurat Goswami gives, this is my last point for the day, what exactly is love? Those of you who are young, you see all these pop songs, is this love, is that love? Last year there was love, this year there is no love, 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 love is in the air, love is in the water, you see, love is everywhere, why I am not getting it? Here is something from Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami's lotus mouth directly. Sarvatha dvamsa rahitam. This is what you say, sir? Sarvatha dvamsa rahitam. There are all reasons for some emotion to be destroyed. Sati api dvamsa karane. All the reasons exist that some particular emotion should be destroyed. Yad bhava bandhanam you know, sa prema parikirtita. When all the reasons for something to be destroyed, abolished, eradicated, vanished, disappeared are existing, but it doesn't. He says, that is prema. So we have the example of Krishna telling Narada Muni, Narada Muni had this desire, that my Lord Dwarkadish, who are your purest of the pure, top of the line, premium devotees? This is Prahlad, Dhruva, Prachitas, Shiva, Brahma, Indra, Devtas, who are they? And Krishna, Dwarkadish, not deciding to make a big fuss about it, he said, do one thing, just go to devotees and say, Dwarkadish has a headache, and don't panic, there is a remedy for it, give your foot dust. So he says, are you sure? This is what I should do? He said, yeah, go. So Narada Muni went all over the 14 worlds. Triloki, he went, found all those who thought were pure devotee. They say, Krishna has a headache? Oh my God. What do I do? He says, give the dust of your lotus feet. He says, that's an offense. Devarshi, I don't know why you're saying that, but that's an offense. We're not supposed to do that. So they all gave him advice. They said, no, 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 we will go to hell. And then Dwarkadish Bhagavan said, by the way, Devarshi, did you go to Vrindavan? He said, no, you didn't tell me to go there. Okay, do one thing. Go to the gopis and ask them. So the gopis are already in separation. They are looking at the trees, tamal tree, the sky. Sky is blue, reminds them of Krishna. They look at the waters of Jamuna. It is blackish, reminds of Krishna. So he goes there and says, Krishna, as Dwarkadish, has a headache. Finished. They're all completely worried. Radharani starts crying. The gopis start crying. He says, wait, but there is a remedy. He says, really? What's the remedy? The dust of your feet. He says, is that so? Some gopis found their feet were so clean, there was no dust. Now what to do? They went to the Jamuna, dipped their feet, came back on the sand. Now there is some dust. Started scraping it and put it in some kind of a palm leaf or whatever. And Narada Muni says, oh, wait, 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 wait.
you are the first group of devotees who are actually acting on this formula. But do you know that giving this kind of thing to Krishna will cause you to dwell in hell? They say, what are you speaking? An eternity in hell if we can reduce Krishna's headache by one tiny atomic fraction. Now, it was his turn to be surprised. He comes back to Dwarkadish and says, now I understand. You wanted to teach me who are my great, what exactly is love? Thank you, my Lord, for allowing me to go to the gopis and understand from them, what do you mean by really loving Krishna? So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nirantara Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki. So there is a small announcement from His Grace Vishwamanu Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. In the most auspicious and sacred presence of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Gopalji, Gaur Nitai, our very, very revered Guru Parampara, Srila Prabhupada, and the scintillating lecture we just now had, after that, I have a very pleasant announcement to make. Two wonderful devotees, their names are Pratap Rudra Prabhu, Prashant Jhope. I request him to kindly stand wherever he is there. And Her Grace Sita Kadam, I request her also to stand for some time. So these two wonderful devotees want to enter into Grihastha Ashram and they are seeking your blessings. I found their biodata to be very extensive, so I will summarize it very. So, Pratap Rudra Prabhu, Prashant Jhope Prabhu, and he is actually the counselee of Baldev Prabhu, and he comes from a very illustrious family. His father was a great Varkari, and he actually had many disciples to his credit. So he was a regular Varkari himself, and he encouraged many devotees to go for Pandharpur Yatra. So a wonderful contribution from his father's side, who is unfortunately he left his body some time back. So he is a very wonderful person. His qualifications, and his mother's name is Sarla Jhope, and Pratap Rudra Prabhu is an IT engineer by profession and is currently working with Tata Consultancy Services in Amsterdam. So he is connected with ISKCON since 2006 and is chanting 16 rounds for the last several years. He is a counselee of, as I mentioned, His Grace Baldev Prabhu, and he is actually a wonderful service-oriented devotee who renders a lot of service. He has set up a nice program in Amsterdam for the benefit of devotees. He also he was trained in VTA. He spent 2 years here in VTA. See, an all-rounder who has served in many capacities. I can go on speaking about him and then the whole time will be taken up only in that. So I request him to stand for some more time. And Her Grace Sita Mataji, she is the illustrious daughter of His Grace Ram Charan Prabhu. Who doesn't know Ram Charan Prabhu? The great actor who has acted in many of our dramas. And the daughter of Kanak Manjari Mataji, and granddaughter of Govinda Rupini. So everybody is a devotee in their family, as there were devotees in the family of Prataprudra Prabhu also. So, both the parents are active, as we know, in service of Sri Radha Gopinath and in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So, Ram Charan Prabhu is actually a spiritual counselor. He is heading the spiritual care department. And Mataji, Kanak Manjari Mataji, is also a floor coordinator in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So, Sita herself is very, very qualified in many ways. She has done her BA in psychology and English language. She is a Nritya Visharad from Akhila Bhartiya Gandharva Mahavidyalaya. Any adept in dancing, adept in acting as well. She has a postgraduate diploma in astrology. So many qualifications. She is a counselee of His Grace Dwarkadish Prabhu and Her Grace Vishakha Priya Mataji. So she has acted in several dramas, in drama festival, and has given dance performances. So both these wonderful devotees want to enter into Grahasthashram with all your blessings for them, all the blessings of the deities. So I request all of you to kindly enthuse them with your blessings by loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Thank you very much for your patience. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. There is an announcement. Hare Krishna movie premiere on Tuesday, opening in 20 theaters in cities across Italy. His Grace Yadubhar Prabhu has requested devotees from Chopati congregation to pray so that the movie theaters are packed and many become attached to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. The Bhaktivedanta Academy of Culture and Education announces 3-day seminar on Srimad Bhagavatam entitled One Story, Four Truths on 6th, 8th and 9th of February 2020 by His Grace Bhurjan Prabhu. For more details, please see the notice board. Also, Hindustani classical music classes from 1st February 2020 for 5 to 10 years age group and more. For details, kindly see the notice board. Thank you.